Good morning. Today we are on the chapter Supply, part 2 in this little black book, The Infinite Way. And he begins with, "We say in one breath, take no thought for your supply or for your health. And in the next breath, we say you must pray without ceasing, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Though seeming to be contradictory, both admonitions are correct, but they have to be understood. Then he talks about the law of averages, and brings up the fact that driving and insurance companies have tables that show you how long you will live as an average. Now he says to live humanly, that is to go along day by day, letting these averages affect you, letting the human beliefs operate upon you, is not scientific living. And so in regards to a law of averages, he says, this is all the belief of human existence. And unless you specifically do something about it, you bring yourself under these so-called laws, which actually are but beliefs or suggestions. These suggestions are so universal as to become hypnotic in their operation and act on those who are not alert and bring forth limitation. What must we do to keep ourselves free of these suggestions so that we can live above them? First, we must live on a higher plane of consciousness. So far as possible, we must train ourselves mentally to know that anything that exists in the realm of effect is not cause, is not creative, and has no power over us. Now, when he says we must live on a higher plane of consciousness, that should make you stop and say, am I doing that? Am I living on a higher plane of consciousness, or do I go out the door in the morning as another human being, one of 300 million in this country? Well, if you're not, then you have no reason to look any further for your lacks and limitations. So that should bring up the question to you, how? How do I live on a higher plane of consciousness? This brings up the important metaphysical point that I am the law. I am truth. I am life eternal. Since I am infinite consciousness, since I am the law, then nothing in the external can act upon me and be a law unto me. There's nothing from which we can ever suffer but the acceptance of illusion as reality. So you thought you were suffering from ill health, thought you were suffering from a lack of supply. You thought you were suffering from being so all alone in the world. But you're not. The only thing we can ever suffer from is the acceptance of illusion as reality. So you're not suffering from all these things, you're suffering from one thing. The illusion that you're a human being, separate and apart. That's the only thing you can suffer from. And you can trace it back. Let's say you go to the mailbox and there's an unexpected bill. Maybe a medical bill that you didn't know was even coming. And you don't have it. And immediately you think, how am I going to afford this? That's living a human life, separate and apart from God, separate and apart from other beings, just separate and apart. So no wonder you're experiencing lack and limitation. You're separate and apart. Let's say you wake up and you feel lonely, and you notice there's a king-size bed, and you only have a tiny little corner of it, because there used to be a partner that had the other side. Now you're all alone. Well, you're experiencing the acceptance of being separate and apart. You can trace them all back to the one error, acceptance of illusion as reality. Acceptance of a human life as reality. You need to look at this, really, really look at this in depth. You suffer only from the acceptance of a human life as reality. These things called sin and disease are not what we are suffering from. They are the forms the one error assumes. Regardless of the name you use, they are hypnotism, suggestion, illusion, appearing as a person, place or thing, appearing as sin, disease, lack and limitation. We must not live as though we were effect with something operating upon us. Let us remember to live as the law, as the principle, as the cause. If you're living as a human being, you are an effect. If you're living as the law, you are cause. You can only take possession of your affairs as you consciously realize that they are the effect of your own consciousness, the image and likeness of your own being, the manifestation or expression of your divine self. Then alone can you be a law unto them. And so you must not live as effect, little me, a human being. You must live as cause, infinite divine self, infinite divine consciousness. We must begin our days with the inner reminder of our true identity. We must identify ourselves as spirit, as principle, as the law of life unto our affairs. It is a very necessary thing to remember that we have no needs. We are infinite, individual, spiritual consciousness. Now that's how we're supposed to start our day. Most of us wake up and grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. In one way or another, we try to wake up and get ready for the day. What day? Well, the day I'm living. I'll be going into work. I'll be putting in a few hours, enough to get caught up on everything that's on my desk. And then I'll have lunch. I think I'll have it at Chili's. And then I'll get off and head home. Now, if someone invited me, I might go with them while they have a drink. I don't drink, so I'll have to have coffee or tea or something. Canada Dry. You see, that's a human life we're talking about. That's a human life we're planning on. I'm dragging this belief of a human me around with me. We've got to change. Nobody's going to change for us. You know, you're not going to wake up and suddenly be a lot farther on the path unless you've put in the time. Put in the time practicing your everywhere perfect self. We must begin our days with the inner reminder of our true identity. We must identify ourselves as spirit. We are infinite, individual, spiritual consciousness, embodying within ourselves the infinity of good. Therefore, we are that center, that point of God consciousness, which can feed 5001 any day and every day. I always say 5001 because we were told greater works than these shall ye do. So he fed 5,000, so I can feed 5,001. So can you. So we can feed 5,001 any day and every day, not by using our bank account, but by using the infinity of good pouring through us. The same as it poured through Jesus. We no longer meet people with the idea of what we can get or what they can do for us. We go out into life as the presence of God. That's one of the most awesome sentences in this entire book. Well, if I'm not going to start as a human and plan these things, how do I start my day? We go out into life as the presence of God. Have you been doing that? Have you been going out into life as the presence of God? Have you been behind the wheel as the presence of God? Have you been at the office as the presence of God? Did you have lunch as the presence of God? Did you come home and pet the cat as the presence of God? He means this. He really means this. And he practiced this. And there's no reason that we can't practice it, except maybe for mental inertia. Consciously remember, all who come within range of our thought and activity must be blessed by the contact because we are a law of love. We are the light of the world. Consciously remember that we do not need anything because we are the law of supply in action. We can feed 5,001 of those who do not yet know their true identity. There is a belief of separation between us and God. And this we correct by realizing I and the Father, my Father, are one. All that the Father hath is mine. The place whereon I stand is holy ground. So, you have a belief of separation between you and God, or you and your good, and this must be corrected by realizing I and my Father are one. In the recognition of the infinity of our being, we realize the truth of the Bible. We realize the truth of these promises. They are no longer quotations, but statements of fact. And that brings us to the point of demarcation between knowing the truth and taking no thought. We are realizing truth now as an established truth within our own consciousness, the truth of our own being. There is a belief that we are separate from some people who are really a part of our completeness. A belief that we are separate or apart from certain individuals, certain spiritual ideas necessary to our fulfillment. And these may appear as papers, persons, companionship, home, opportunity. So there's a belief that we're separate from what we need. This we correct. Didn't he just say that before? Yeah, this we correct. So here's a second injunction that we must correct these beliefs. And there's no one going to do it for us. You can't read a book on correcting beliefs and feel like you've corrected beliefs, because you haven't. You've only read someone else's opinion. This belief in separation, we correct by realizing that our oneness with God constitutes our oneness with every idea. And then he gives you an example of the telephone. You can pick it up right now and call Egypt, or you can call South America, or you can call China, or you can call Japan. But you can't call any of them unless you first go through central office. Never forget that you cannot live scientifically as man or idea. You must realize yourself to be life, truth, and love. You must accept Jesus' revelation of the I Am until it becomes realization with you. Stop trying to apply truth. Applying truth is the action of a human being. There is nothing to apply truth to. Truth is already infinite. Therefore, there is nothing to which we can apply truth. It is the reality of being, and there is nothing inside or outside for truth to act upon. Truth is self-acting, self-operative. All right, so I wonder how many musts we must. This we must correct. We must have this realization. There's so many musts here. And the things that we actually have to do. Listening to a talk will not correct these beliefs. I realized when I was learning how to play the guitar that I had to do the same thing over and over and over. And my fingers did not have calluses. So when I tried to press them down, I got a twang instead of a nice hum. More practice and more practice. And one day, my ex-wife came in and said, "Hey, that sounds good." I had learned to change chords from C to D to G smoothly without any interruption in the song I was playing, the notes I was playing. It took a lot of work, folks, but the only reason I persisted was because I love music, all kinds of music, from the Hallelujah of Handel's Messiah to some of the early rap that came out. Folk music, classical rock, all of it. I like all of it. Because it's usually a thing of beauty. And it was my love of music that pushed me to learn how to play something. I hope it's your love of God that will push you into doing these musts, into practicing these principles, into practicing realization of I Am. We are all engaged in activities through which our supply appears to come. regardless of whether it is a business, a profession, or an art. It is an activity of consciousness and life. So regarded, our activity is intelligently and lovingly directed and maintained, sustained. It is even more than this. As an emanation of consciousness, it is consciousness itself, individually appearing and expressing its own being, nature, and character. The government is upon its shoulder, and consciousness alone is responsible. We learn to let go and let consciousness assume its responsibilities. All right. In the Bible, we read the trials and tribulations of Elijah. As we follow him through the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, we must understand that only the consciousness of the presence of Spirit, God within him, could have done these mighty works. No human power can accomplish them. In the 19th chapter, we find the discouragement creeping in, what appears as the failure of Elijah's ministry. Actually, this is an opportunity to prove that the power is not that of a human, but actually is God power, appearing as what appears as a man, but really is God appearing as an individual. This is important. The food prepared for Elijah under the juniper tree is his own awareness of the presence of God appearing in tangible form. That's just lovely. I love that. Awareness of the presence of God appearing in tangible form. Isn't that what we all would like? If so, don't go out of the door in the morning as a human being. Take the time you need. If you need an hour and you have to be at work at 7, get up at 5. Take the time you need so that you can correct these beliefs. I'm not a human being going to work to get my supply. What am I? I and my Father are one. All that God has is mine, because God is my consciousness and yours. So I go out the door in the morning, not as a human being. I go out the door in the morning as realization, as conscious awareness. I go out the door in the morning as the presence of God. All right. Whatever our work may be, in business, in a profession, as an artist, God, the consciousness of the individual, always has kept 7,000 completeness for himself. And as we learn to listen for that still small voice which spoke to Elijah, we too will be led to where our work and recognition and compensation are to be found. You exist as individual consciousness. Therefore, all that is necessary to your fulfillment is included in the infinite consciousness which you are. In an individual way, God is expressing itself as you. And that's what you must go out the door in the morning with. The conscious awareness that God's presence is expressing itself as you. Don't go out as a human being. Break the cycle. Practice this for 30 days. Isn't that what they say? It takes 30 days to establish a new habit. Therefore, the responsibility for you is God's responsibility. Gain. How? By practice. Gain this consciousness of God's presence, and you have the whole secret of success in every walk of life. So it all comes down to the conscious awareness of God's presence. As individual spiritual consciousness, there is fulfillment prepared for you. That is God, the consciousness of the individual, the consciousness of you, has given you your individual abilities and capacities, and likewise has given you the opportunity and the rewards. These appear to fit each situation. But always remember that God, the consciousness of you, has prepared for you all that is necessary for the fulfillment of your individual experience. You are never outside the harmony of God's being. Cultivate the consciousness of the presence of God every moment. Now, this is really praying without ceasing. If you have the consciousness or the conscious awareness of the presence of God every single moment, you are praying without ceasing. I used to wonder about that, and I know I've said this before. When I go to work and I have that part of my work that requires concentration, how do you do that and pray without ceasing? I think I even called her about it one time, way back, 78 or 79. How do you pray without ceasing and concentrate while you're using a pair of calipers or a micrometer? How do you concentrate when you're using those things on God? Well, there is a way. I have discovered that I can have the conscious awareness of God's presence and at the same time be building something or repairing something or doing something that requires use of those instruments and requires concentration so that I get it within, oh, let's say 1/10 of an inch or 1/1000 of an inch. It is our conscious union with God which enables us to live without taking thought and makes possible a life of complete abundance by grace. Now that's a true statement. That's a true paragraph. That's a true principle. That is the truth of being. If you have the conscious awareness of your union with God, that will enable you to live without taking thought. And it will make it possible to live a life of complete abundance by grace. There is an invisible bond between all of us. We are not on earth to get from one another. We are on earth to share the spiritual treasures which are of God. Our interest in each other, in truth, is purely spiritual. Our purpose in life is the unfolding of the Spirit within. From the height of spiritual vision, we do not look upon each other as man and women, rich or poor, grand or humble. All human values are submerged, and get thee behind me, in our common interest to seek and find the kingdom within. All right. Something just hit me right there. The kingdom within. We're told we must correct the beliefs in separation with the conscious awareness of God's presence. And we're told that the kingdom is within. So it must follow then that we are consciously aware of God's presence within. It's only there that it may be found. We see each other as travelers on the path of light. We share our unfoldments, our experiences, and our spiritual resources. We would not withhold any of these from each other. Likewise, there is no envy or jealousy of each other's spiritual attainments. Let us even for a moment realize that whatever we possess of supply, of position, of prestige, or power, health, beauty, and wealth is the gift of God and therefore equally available to all of us in the measure of our openness of consciousness. And you understand how we can carry our impersonal love out into the human world. Let us once catch the vision that whatever anyone possesses, even of what appears as material good, is but the expression of their state of consciousness, and it would be impossible to envy any of another's possessions, or even to desire them. I looked at this principle way back, early 80s, 81, 82. I had a friend, and he had just bought a house, and it backed up to National Forest, and he had a screen porch. This was in Florida. He had a screen porch which looked out on the woods. And in the screen porch, he had some comfortable furniture. And I used to go over there and we'd talk. Well, I didn't tell him I was envying his house. But I was. I was still renting, and I wished I'd had a house. Yeah, that's a heck of a belief, huh? That he has a house and I don't. But I came to see. It was his consciousness appearing. And later, within a year or so, I had a house on a little lake. And it was beautiful. I'd go out. I bought a little rowboat and I went to Sears and got a trolling motor. I put it on the back of that rowboat and went all over that lake fishing. And honest to God, I caught a widemouth bass that was huge. I got it up to the boat. And I went to lift it up, and it jumped straight up off the hook and back in the water and swam away. It was big. All right. Let us once catch the vision that whatever anyone possesses is but the expression of their own state of consciousness, and it would be impossible to envy any of another's possessions, or even to desire them. The first step in living by grace, living in universal peace, must begin with the understanding that all anyone has is of the Father. That is, all that we possess and all that we can ever own is the outpouring of our own infinite consciousness. We are all joint heirs with Christ in God. Therefore, we all draw upon the resources of our own infinite consciousness and soul. And we don't have to labor, strive, or struggle for that which already is divinely ours. Okay, but you have to realize it. Realize it into manifestation. He tells you here that you have everything that God hath. All that the Father hath is mine. But are you experiencing that? Are you still a little short on the mortgage payment? Again, all that anyone possesses at any time, even of what appears to be of human value, is the unfoldment of their own state of consciousness, and therefore belongs only to the possessor. That which we have is the result of fruitage of our own state of consciousness. And what we have not yet achieved is our own lack of conscious union with God, our infinite consciousness. So, several things here in this one sentence. That which we have is the result of fruitage of our own state of consciousness. What does that mean, state of consciousness? If you have the conscious awareness of yourself as a human being, separate and apart from everyone else, well, that's your conscious awareness. You are communing with the belief. And that's why that belief will manifest as good or evil. Sometimes both at the same time. But if you wake up and sit in your meditation chair and make an effort to realize these things, God is my very own, as it said here, infinite consciousness. And what I have not yet achieved is my lack of conscious union with my infinite consciousness. It all comes down to consciously aware. Are you consciously aware of a human life, separate and apart? Are you consciously aware of a divine life, one with the Father? Are you consciously aware that God is your infinite consciousness? We can have as much of everything as we desire by enlarging the borders of our understanding and realization. Nothing that we can get from another would ever really be ours. Even if we received it legally, it would still belong only to the one with the consciousness of it. What is yours is eternally yours, and only because it is your state of consciousness and expression. Here's where we see people that win the lottery, $114 million, and you check in with them 2 or 3 years later, and it's gone. It's gone. Where did it go? What did they spend it on? The fact is, they didn't have the consciousness of wealth. They had the consciousness of lack and limitation. And so, because they won the lottery, does not mean they changed their consciousness. Now you can win $114 million with the lottery, and you can say to yourself, you know, I don't understand that much about investments. I think I will get somebody that knows how to manage wealth, and I'll go learn. And you can learn how to make investments, how to manage wealth. And then it won't be gone in a year or two. All right. I'm just making an example of how you would gain the consciousness of a financial planner. What is yours is eternally yours, and only because it is your state of consciousness and expression. All that the Father, my very own infinite consciousness, hath is mine. The realization of this truth would enable all men to live together in one world harmoniously, joyously, successfully. Without fear of each other, and without greed, envy, or lust, we would be back in the Garden of Eden. We would live without taking thought, which is by grace, How would we do all these things? The realization of the truth that my very own infinite consciousness is my supply. This would constitute the recognition of life as the gift of God, as the free flow of our own consciousness. It would reveal the invisible spiritual tie which binds us in an eternal brotherhood of love. It would forever solve the problem of supply and thereby establish the reign of peace on earth. What would do all this? The realization that all that my Father, my very own infinite consciousness, hath is mine. All right. That is part two of supply. And basically, if you have the conscious awareness of the presence of God, you will have supply. If you recognize and realize God is my own infinite divine consciousness, and now I will step aside, get out of the way, and live life as a beholder, I will see, I will bear witness to God appearing. Well, don't forget the lesson from part one. We must begin to pour out from that infinite consciousness within. We pour out from that state of consciousness because we recognize that I, within me, have all that the Father hath. And if you pour out from that state of consciousness, everything you pour out will be come back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. Think about this for a minute. We came here to discover what supply is. What is the secret of supply? And we began to learn certain principles. One of them was pouring out. So we learned to share, to give, to do for someone without a price tag. Then we learn the principle that there's no God out there. God is my very own state of consciousness when I am consciously aware of the presence of God. So the secret is your conscious awareness. Are you consciously aware of yourself as a human being, facing all the things we have to face in 2025? And are you moving in those, in that state of consciousness, moving in several circles of acquaintances? Or have you come up higher? Have you learned to live life behind those appearances? Have you learned to have the conscious awareness of God's presence? Your conscious awareness determines whether you live in lack and limitation, or whether you live in the conscious awareness of the presence of God and behold that presence manifesting. Now that is supply. Please take these principles and study them. Try to put them into practice. It's the practicing of the principles that brings you the higher state of consciousness. Now, there are some foolish things we can do. Let's say we have the desire for a huge Cadillac. And we head on down to the dealer and ask him how much. And he tells us. And we recognize that we don't have enough. But we tell ourselves, God will provide. And we go ahead and sign the papers and drive the Cadillac home. Now we have a whopping payment, over $1,000 a month. You see, that's not what he's talking about. You don't go out as people did in the early days and try to demonstrate a Cadillac. You may like them, but you may be a step or two away from owning one and not having it upset your finances. So you follow guidance and direction. You follow what God says. And God says, right now I have a car for you over here. Oh, it's a Toyota, or it's a Chevy, or it's a Ford. But it's nice and it's new, and so you walk into a deal at the dealership and everything's fine. A couple of years later, you trade it in and you go up. Instead of a Toyota, you're getting a Lexus. Things are okay. A few years later, your income has gone up. Maybe you've managed to save a few thousand. Guess what you buy? You buy a Cadillac. And what surprises you is it's paid for. All of it in the first year. This presence, which I'm feeling right now, is worth so much. It really is the pearl of great price. My conscious awareness of this presence manifests as my supply, as my home, my companionship, my health, my life. So what I'm trying to say and what I'm pointing out is, it's your conscious awareness of this presence that manifests as your consciousness appearing. And so be glad and rejoice. Your consciousness is God. God is your consciousness, and as you become still and become a beholder, you bear witness to God appearing, your consciousness appearing, your consciousness of fulfillment appearing. All right. Next week is the New Horizon. So much meat in that chapter. I will see you then. Thank you.